Welcome to another MyTunes podcast on Manx Radio with me, Mark Tiley. And it's a podcast with a difference. Not only will we reflect on the MyTunes with Jimmy Gillespie, if you listen to the end, and I hope you do, there are three acoustic tracks recorded exclusively for us at the end. Jimmy and his guitar here at Manx Radio Studios. Don't miss those. They're superb. Mark Tiley. Another week of My Tunes on Mark Tiley in the Morning. And my guest this week, you may have seen him playing. You may have seen him playing in Ireland. You may have seen him playing, I don't know, anywhere in the world. You may have seen him playing here in the Isle of Man. But you also might have seen him at the old Lido. And we'll talk a lot about that. Please welcome James, or Jimmy if you prefer, Gillespie. Welcome.
Hi, how are you doing? Thanks for having me.
It's good to have you with us. Let's go back, because I think we can tell immediately you're not from here originally.
No, I'm originally from Anderson in Glasgow, in the city centre. And I came here first on holiday in 1971. That was my first venture into the Lido as a holidaymaker. And then I came back to reside here in 1974 and took up employment, full-time employment, in the Lido in 1975, and I was there for about 20 years.
20 years, yeah. At this iconic establishment on the Isle of Man.
Yeah, it's a lovely little car park now, and in the promenade, you know, that a lot of people, when they drive by it, or park on it now. So yeah, take them back to their youth where they danced and watched all these fantastic live bands from the Rolling Stones, Thin Lizzy, you know, Queen. I mean, maybe it could go on forever, but I was fortunate enough to be there at most of them, and I'm sure everybody out there wishes the venue was still here, because it's sadly missed.
It certainly is. We'll talk an awful lot more about the Lido a little later in the week, but I want to take you back to Scotland, growing up in Scotland. What was the music around you in those days?
Well, it was always live music in Scotland, you know what I mean? For about 18 onwards, I frequented a bar in Glasgow city centre called Burns's Howth. Howth meaning it's a Gaelic name for house. And I got a lot of great bands played there. You know, Nazareth, you know, Beggar's Opera. Every weekend, every night of the week, there'd be live music there. So, and I roaded for a band there for a while as well. And it was a fantastic venue. I mean, it's established in Glasgow's history as one of the great live venues. So I was used to live music. I've always been interested in music. I've always had a guitar lying around the house, and I really enjoyed the live side of stuff, you know. So when I came here and all this live music was going here, I mean, all along the promenade, not just in the Lido, but it was a good venture for me, you know.
And when did you start playing the guitar yourself?
Well, to be quite honest with you, I bought my first guitar when I was about 21, and it just lay in the corner. I mean, if somebody told me now, in this day and age, I'd be up here going to sing a few live songs, I would have said, go and get your head tested. But it was an accidental thing that I got involved in live music, and there's a bit of a story to it, so...
I want to hear it. We want to hear it.
Well, after the Lido had Little Caesars, I think everybody remembers that as an iconic sort of a dance venue as well. But I didn't work there as part owner. And it didn't go right, so I needed something to do. So I thought, well, I think I'll go to Ireland and cycle the Donegal coast, well, the whole coast of the west coast of Ireland, in a mountain bike. So I planned it all. I'd done my research, and I was ready to go, and I got a job from the Isle of Man government looking after the cave in Summerland, so I could only do the first section. So I was on this mountain bike. I got to Malin Head. I cycled from Londonderry, or whatever you want to call it, up to Malin Head, the most northerly point in Southern Ireland. I mean, it's the most northerly part in Ireland. And I cycled over, I think, 14 days, and I ended up in Donegal town. Now, if you've been on a mountain bike for 14 days every day, you pay the price. And when I got to Donegal town, I was delighted that I didn't have to get on this mountain bike the next day. I was going in the bus there and back to Belfast to come home here. And I got to a hostel in Donegal, and I put the bike away, and it was a nice little hostel, and a young couple owned it, a couple of young kids. I took a walk into Donegal town, And on the way over the bridge by the castle, there was a pub called The Scotsman. So I went in, and there was three old guys at the bar, the woman behind the bar, long blonde hair, a middle-aged woman. And I got myself a pint of Guinness, and I went, and I seen two guitars at the bay window that overlooked the river about 30 feet away from the bar. So I walked down with my pint and I sat there, and I picked up one of the guitars and I started playing it and humming away to myself. So I'd done this, went back and got another pint, I'd done a few more. These people sat at the bar, said nothing. On the way out, the woman said to me, come in tonight, it's our live music night. You know, and I think, what time's it starts? It's about 9 o'clock. I thought, okay, I'll come down. So I went back to the hostel, got changed, and there's 19 pubs in Donegal. So I thought, I'll start at the top of the street and work my way down.
Yeah.
So when I got to the Scotsman, it was about 8:45. I tried to open the door. There was that many people in it. I couldn't get the door open. And I was pushing it, and the woman behind the bar seen me, and she went, pointed at me, and she went, and waved me in. So I pushed in, and she said, you come with me, come with me. And she walked me through the crowd, and there's a musician's corner there, where nobody's sitting at it. It said musician, and a brass plaque, and she sat me there. And I'm thinking, and then somebody brought me a pint of Guinness, and then I seen this woman appear with an acoustic guitar up above her head, walking towards me. And she put it on my knee and said, will you play a few songs, because the musician's car's broke down, only for half an hour. Now, I'd never, ever, honestly, played live to anybody. It was always something I'd done in the house. So I'd just done a bit of Dylan and whatever. And then the band arrived and said, oh, thank you very much. And I sat in with them. So I was leaving at 2 o'clock in the morning, and the woman said to me, oh, are you here tomorrow? I said, well, I can be, you know. She said, oh, come in and sing a few songs and I'll give you some money. So I went, okay, are you sure? She says, yeah. So I went back to the hostel, booked in for another night, and I went back the next night. And I sat there for an hour and played some songs, and she gave me 80 punts.
Nice.
Which was, the euro wasn't in then. I think it was, this was, I think, year 2000 or 1999.
That'll do nicely.
And I said, thanks very much. And the next day, I got the bus, and going back to the Isle of Man, and I thought, there could be something in this for me, you know. I mean, I really needed. I'd been through a bad time in the nightclub business. I mean, it was all, the lie was all fun and games, but you know, when you move on. And I thought, well, should I try this? And I came back and I got involved in a Donald's, you know, Donald's Irish bar. And that was pretty booming with live music in 2000. I started getting in there. Then I started playing live here. And people were coming in, used me to be the Lido man. And I'm up there and they're looking at me. So, and then I went to Liverpool. I got involved in the Liverpool music scene. And I went back to Ireland, and you pick up things and you move on and you get gigging. But I'm fortunate enough, I'm playing live and people enjoy it. You know, I go busking. I was busking Saturday afternoon down in Laxey, and people coming over chatting to you, kids coming over singing songs. And you get a lot out of music. I mean, I was never in it to play live. I was never in it to want any fame or anything. When you're fortunate enough to be able to sing a song and play a guitar, you consider that a blessing. And I see it as that. It's opened a lot of doors for me.
Let's have your first choice of the week of somebody else's music. What's it going to be?
It's going to be this is a song I'd love to gig, but you need another three guys on harmony.
Of course.
You need to play this wonderful acoustic guitar in open tuning, and there's only one guy that can do it, and that's Stephen Stills. And the song's called Sweet Blue, Judy Blue Eyes, and it's by Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young. Stephen Stills wrote it.
It's getting to the point where I'm no fun anymore.
I am sorry.
Sometimes it hurts so badly I must cry out loud.
I am lonely.
I am yours, you are mine, you are what you are.
Give back your
heart. Remember what we've said and done and felt about each other.
If they have mercy,
don't let the past
remind us of what we are not now. I am not dreaming. I am yours. You are mine. You are what you are. You make it hard. Tearing yourself away from me now, you are free, and I am crying. This does not mean I don't love you, I do, that's forever, yes and for always. I am yours, you are mine, you are what you are. You make it hard. Something inside is telling me that I've got your secret. Are you still listening? Fear is the lock and laughter the key to your heart. And I love you. I am yours, you are mine, you are what you are. You make it hard, and you make it hard, and you make it hard, and you make it hard. Chestnut, brown, canary, ruby, throated sparrow, sing the song, don't be long, thrill me to the marrow. Voices of the angel ring around the moonlight, asking me, say, she's so free, how can you catch the sparrow? bassy lilting lyric, oozing of lamenting. Change my life, make it right, be my lady.
Day two of My Tunes with my guest all this week, Jimmy James Gillespie. You can choose. He doesn't mind. He's told me he doesn't mind. So, a busker by accident, all the way from Donegal back to Liverpool, Isle of Man, and all points everywhere.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the palace, the Lido. When you got involved in there, you started off, I think, on the door, weren't you?
Yeah, I was a bouncer.
Yeah.
They're commonly called stewards now, but in those days it was bouncers, you know, yeah. But they're stewards now.
Yeah.
And you've got to go through certain qualifications and police checks and everything. But back in the day, there was 40 lads in there, and there was none of that.
Yeah.
And we all worked on the door.
Now, that was back in the early 70s.
It was 1974, I'd done.
74. But quickly, you moved through the ranks
Well, what happened was, the guy who run the Lido at the time is a gentleman called Derek Norris, a lovely man. He was a director of entertainment. He was on the board. And he knew I'd roaded through conversations. He's the type of guy who'd stop and speak to you, you know, say, how you doing? You enjoying working here? And he knew I'd roaded with a band. And he said, everything was done backstage in the Lido, the light and the sound. And they were going to move it up onto the balcony. So they needed a stage manager. So he says to me, we need a stage manager. Do you want to do it? And I thought, yeah. He says, well, come in on Monday afternoon. There's a show arriving and you'll get involved and they'll show you what to do and everything like that. So I came in and Dougie Squire's dancers were there and the compere and the speciality act and I'd done that. And my job on a Sunday evening, if the bands were here, was to pick them up at the airport. It could be Billy Connolly. It could be whatever. Take them to the hotel, get their dressing room sorted out, make sure the rider was okay. Mm. The rider being the contract, so many bottles of whiskey, daffodils, you know, apples, on a rider, you know what it is,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
Part of the contract, so. And then go to the hotel, get them out the hotel room, walk them across the car park, into the Lido, back into the dressing room and on stage on time. That was my job on a Sunday night. So through that job, I met a lot of people, a lot of famous people. You know, and I've got quite a lot of stories about them, you know.
But moving on from that, you ended up being one of the booking team.
What actually happened was the decline of the Lido in other places on the island really started after Millennium Year. It was really sad because when we had the Grumbleweeds there for 4 years, they were the top cabaret act in Britain. When you went in every night of the week in the summer, there'd be 2,000 people seated to watch them. Come 1981, 1982, 1983, there was like 300 people in.
Yeah.
So the board had to cut the budget for the show and they didn't know what to do. And through a sheer chance conversation with me, one of the directors was talking to me. I said, well, I've seen a place in Glasgow that would, if you refurbished the Lido in that way, it would work. So he spoke to me and I got a phone call to attend head office at Mount Pleasant. We used to call it Unpleasant. Because if you went up there, you didn't know if you were going up to get sacked or get welcomed. So they asked me about this place I'd seen in Glasgow called the Cardinal Folly that had a laser system in it. And I'd also seen this in the State Ballroom in Dale Street in Liverpool. So they had to listen to me. You know, the board, there was a few directors, David Knight, Sir Dudley Conlifone was there, and they're all talking to me, and I'm telling them what's going on. And the next week, before we knew it, I was on a plane up to Glasgow. Stu Lowe was on the plane with us, Paul Gaskell, Les Goldstraw, David Knight, Jonathan Clegg, who owned the company, and Doug Bolton. And they wanted me to take them and show them these places. So I took them and we went and seen the State Ballroom. And when we came back, they said, oh, we're going to do this and you can look after all that. And I went, no. If you want me involved, I've got to run the gaff. I've got to run it all. I've got to run the Lido. So they turned around a week later and says, okay, put your head on the line, go out and find somebody to refurbish it and do the job. And that was my first involvement. And then that was me the Lido manager. And then I was the Lido general manager. And then I looked after the other two clubs, which was Whispers and the Hawaiian Bar, which I got changed into JD's, the fun pub. And then I became the director of entertainment. They then put me on the board. And then they kept me on as a consultant for a year when I left the company as well. So the fortunate thing, I'd done all. I mean, I'd painted the toilets. I'd done worked in the cellars. I'd worked on the door. I worked behind the bar. I knew, I worked on the maintenance. I'd painted the toilets. I'd been up in the attic. I knew everything about the Lido. The Lido was a success because of a lot of people, not just me. It was the staff. You know, it was your Alan Ryders, the bar's manager. It was your Paul Gaskell, who ran general promotion. Susie Richardson was living with him for a long time. They were a couple for a long time. It was a big, happy family, the Lido.
It was a big business and it was a big team.
I mean, I had like 200 staff working for me. But everybody who... Lido's got a Facebook page. You've only got to go onto the Lido Facebook page and read the comments and the stories to tell you how much... It was the heart of Douglas Entertainment. And when they moved, it was removed, they took the soul out of the place. That was the end. For me, it was the end. And I'm sure there's a lot of people who'd agree with me on that, you know.
Let's have today's track. What's it going to be, Jimmy?
It's a song, you know, I mean, people expect you know, in these desert island dish things to pick something that they know. And there was a girl, there was an Irish girl, put this track on, and it's called Tangled Up in You, and it's by a band called Stained. And it's a lovely song. And it's about, it's one of them songs that you think, when you hear it, you go, why haven't I heard that before? So I thought I'd bring it. You know, I mean, I've got a multitude of songs, but, you know, I thought I'll just put this in and let people hear it. And I think it's a great song, you know.
Shore when I am lost at sea. only thing that I like about me. And in this world where nothing else is true, here I am still tangled.
This week on My Tunes, we've been remembering the real heydays of the Palace Lido. We've been talking about bands coming in, lasers coming in, and my guest, who looked after so much of that, 70s, 80s, 90s as well, I think, Jimmy?
Yeah, well, it was the early 90s, you know, when I left the company, you know, and I think the building was demolished in 1992. I think they took it down in 92.
Jimmy Gillespie. Seeing it go, it must have been just heartbreaking.
Well, what actually happened, I think, I mean, why did it go? The tourist trade even then was going, you know.
Yeah.
And you've got to remember that the Lido came under the Gaming Board of Control. Are you with me? Which holds a liquor license. So the whole area of the Palace Company comes under the Gaming Board of Control. And in them days, the pub shut at 11 o'clock and the Lido stayed open to 2. Whisper stayed open to 3:30. JD's was open to 12 o'clock. So when you left the pubs, you had to go somewhere. It was a sort of a monopoly situation. But the Lido, I would sit in it on my own sometimes. And do you know when you go to somebody's house or you go to buy a house and you walk in and you go, this isn't right. There's something about a venue. But I'd sit in the Lido sometimes on my own and it was a wonderful building. I mean, the balcony held 1,400 people. There was 10 bars in it. The people who'd done the laser system for Pink Floyd came in the Lido to put lasers in. Tarn, Bochum in Germany. And he came on New Year's Eve, right? I made sure he came on New Year's Eve because this company, they made lasers and sound systems. And they put the laser systems into the Pink Floyd shows. And I wanted that for the Lido. So they came to see the Lido. And I took them in on New Year's Eve. And Stu Lowe and the lads had this thing going, the Radio Gaga thing. So right after 12 o'clock, I had two pipers come on and they'd play the bagpipes and everybody would meet, 4,000 people in. And then they'd do the Radio Gaga thing. Now, this German is standing next to me in the sound box and all the sound lads are there. And they had this wonderful nightclub and it was one of the best nightclubs I've ever been in. So they knew their game. Not only did they manufacture this stuff, they had the premises that held 2,000. And the lads done this Radio Gaga thing. And he was standing looking at this, people up on each other's shoulders, clapping. And he turned round and he said to me, "Jimmy, this is the best I ever..." He says, "All the hairs are standing up in the back of my neck." And, you know, it was just... it was one of them places. It was a wonderful venue. It had a great feeling and so many memories for so many people who'd met their wives there, their boyfriends there, seen so many bands there. And then I don't think they knew it was going. I think they only knew it was going when they walked past it. There was a, an order on it for not to be knocked down. Preservation order. That got removed. And the people moved in. Now, somebody had to sign that to be done. And it was gone. And I think if the local public knew that, there would have been a protest saying, look, we've got to take it over. Or the government's got to step in and preserve the building. And that, and then it disappeared.
Yeah.
And with it, the big concerts as well. So.
And a massive era came to an end.
Oh, well, it is a massive era. And do you know, it's really sad that, you know, I walked along Strand Street a couple of Saturdays ago. I was at a private party. And when I thought back to when I first came here, you know, and all the dogs home gone and everything, and all the pubs, you know, the old curiosity shop. And I thought, you know, if people came off the boat years ago and you got into the promenade, there was an atmosphere. All the hotels, a big Victoriana front, people sitting outside on holiday. No, the Athol, the Peveril, the Villiers, you know, and you moved along, you go to the end of Strand Street, they had all these wonderful bars there. Then you had the Falcon Cliff, the Lido, and all that's gone now. And it'll never return. It was great.
But mercifully, and I'm going to turn a positive here,
yeah,
there is still a thriving local music scene.
Well,
and a lot of great people making a lot of great music on this island.
Without a shadow of a doubt. I mean, you've got your hand it to Quids Inn in 1886. And, I mean, people knock the brewery, but the brewery's still giving budgets to pubs to put live music on. And these people, these bands that are here, I mean, you can go out and look. There's a great live music scene here, a wonderful live music scene. You know, but if you live in a bubble here, so you tend to get... And I thought, I've got to bust this bubble. I've got to go out and do other things. And even though I gig here now and again, I haven't, for a whole year, I've not bothered going out gigging.
Well, it's not been easy, to be fair.
It's not been easy with the COVID thing.
No.
You know, so yeah. I mean, it is thriving, and long may it continue. And I hope it continues, you know.
Let's have today's track, Jimmy. What have we got?
Fields of Gold. It's probably one of the most beautiful songs that's ever been written by Sting. And it brings back fond memories for me from being a child. You know, so I had to go in. You know.
Love it. Here it is.
Still left, you walk in fear.
This week, we have been casting a very reflective eye over the heydays of the Palace Lido with my guest, Jimmy James Gillespie. We've talked about some golden days. We've talked about sadness when it no longer existed. And we talked about tourists sort of drifting away from the Isle of Man over a fairly long time. But it was pretty abrupt when the Spanish big package holidays kicked in and people sort of went for sun and not for our beaches, didn't they? That was pretty much a...
Yeah, like I said, you know, previously, after 1988, so you could see the dwindling.
Yeah.
The Lido thrived because of the ideas, it was the concepts that was put in here. But you could see it in general, you know, the boats disappearing and, you know, and it was all downhill from there for your tourist point of view.
Today, our final day together, I want to talk about you and your music. You told us that you became a performer by accident in a pub in Ireland. Somebody, will you play for us? The band aren't here. And if you missed any of this, by the way, there'll be a podcast with loads more bits and pieces with Jimmy Gillespie talking to me. That'll be available after this. So later on this afternoon, you'll get the podcast. Tell us about your own inspirations for playing, Jimmy.
The top of the list, you've got to put the Beatles. I mean, without a shadow of a doubt, I was 10 years of age when the Beatles came out, you know. And immediately, I mean, everybody loved the Beatles. And then you move on, you know, you get a bit older and then I dwindled into Dylan, you know. And then I heard after the Gold Rush by Neil Young. And then you go into James Taylor and you go Crosby, Stills, Nash and Young. And, you know, you go into Led Zeppelin and you got all the rest of the live music. But, you know, I was sitting in the house with a guitar in the corner and it was very therapeutic, the guitar, for me. You know, if my head was a bit twisted, you know, instead of taking a tablet, you know, sort yourself out, I would pick up the guitar and find a song. And you couldn't go on YouTube how to play.
Oh, no.
You had to go and find the book with the dot chords in it, you know, and I'd sit there on my own. I mean, a girl lived with me for a long time and she'd never heard me singing. I mean, I'm talking about a long time. So when she went out, I picked a guitar up and I would play these songs, you know, the Dylan songs, Neil Young stuff, you know, and then, so yeah, the acoustic scene, in my opinion, dwindled off, and then along came Oasis, Noel Gallagher, great songwriter. I mean, a terrific songwriter. And David Gray came out with White Ladder and stuff like that. So that kept me going and just playing, you know.
Do you ever play with other people in a band are you more solo?
Well, in Liverpool, when I got to Liverpool, I'm fortunate enough, I mean, there's a few friends playing Matthew Street down the Cavern pub, and I've got a good friend there called Davey Edge, who's an actor, a singer-songwriter, a poet. And I got to know him, and he was gigging a lot. And so I'd go and sit in with them and sing with them, and there's another band called Scallywag. I got up with them and I sat in with them. But I've never played in a band. I've always been on my own acoustically. But it's nice to get invited up, you know. If a band who know me see me in the pub or in the Cavern or the Cavern pub, Morton mainly, and out with Davy Edge, you know, I'm up playing with them. And that for me is, you know, you're meeting other people. I mean, I'm sitting with people who actually tell me stories about the Beatles that nobody's ever heard before.
Brilliant.
You know, I was sitting with a guy, unfortunately he's passed away now, and he said to me, you like that Bob Dylan guy, don't you? And I went, yeah. He says, George took me to see him. I went, George who? George Harrison. Phoned me up, I was in London. Bernie was this guy's name, he was Dusty Springfield's drummer. He said, Bernie Rogers was the guy's name.
Yeah.
He said, he phoned me up. He takes me to Albert Hall. You know, this isn't it, sitting in the garden talking. I'm like, he said, And we watched the Stirling guy. He says, and then I went backstage and meet him. I didn't really like him, you know, Jimmy. You know what I mean? And this is, and this for me, is a, you know, I'm in Liverpool. I'm hearing these things. It's not about playing. It's about involving yourself with these people who were at the roots of the Cavern, the very start of it. And you're fortunate enough to get up singing with them and playing with them. That is me venturing out of the Isle of Man to find something else.
Well, long may it continue. Yeah. Keep playing, keep travelling, and keep playing for us here as well.
Well, you know, I mean, if the invites are there and the gigs are there, of course I'll do it.
Good man.
I look forward to it.
It's been a great week. What are we going to finish it off with?
It's a Simon Garfunkel song, The Sound of Silence. But you see, what I find in singers, there's singers who can sing a song, and there's singers who can deliver a song. And singing to me is all about climbing in the audience. As you, if you're the vocalist and you're playing it. So I like to look at the performer and say, this person has lived that song. It may be somebody else's song, and they're delivering the song. They're not just performing the song. They're sending it to you, to your head. And when you listen to this guy singing, I'd love to have his vocal range, because it starts off very slow and it builds up. It's had 125 million views on YouTube, and it's The Sound of Silence by a band called Disturb.
And it's a live
version. It's a live version from the Conan TV programme, and it's fantastic.
Jimmy, thank you.
Oh, you're more than welcome. And, it's lovely being here. Thank you.
Catch him soon. You won't be disappointed.
I look forward to seeing you. Thank you.
Please welcome Disturb!
Hello, darkness, my old friend. I've come to talk with you again, because a vision softly creeping left its seeds while I was sleeping. And the vision that was planted in my brain still remains within the sound of silence. Restless dreams I walked alone, narrow streets of cobblestone, neath the halo of a street lamp. I turned my collar to the cold and damp, when my eyes were stared by the flash of a neon light that split the night and touched the sound of silence. And in the naked light I saw 10,000 people, maybe more, people talking with of silence. Fool said I, you do not know. Silence like a cancer grows. Hear my words and I might teach you. Take my arms and I might reach you. But my silence, and the people bowed.
sign said the words of the prophets are written on the subway walls and tenement halls in a whisper.
My thanks to Jimmy Gillespie, my MyTunes guest. Amazing memories of the Palace Lido and so much more. But we're not done yet. He also brought his guitar in when he came in to record MyTunes. And here is an exclusive acoustic session with Jimmy Gillespie.
Oh, this is a song that I sort of stumbled upon on YouTube, and it's a bit unusual to do a sort of the song on acoustic guitar, because it's from the rock opera Tommy. But I love the song and I just thought I'd have a go, so it's called Behind Blue Eyes. No one knows what it's like to be the bad man, to be the sad man behind blue eyes. No one knows what it's like to be hated, to be faded, to tell an only lie. But my dreams are never ending, though my conscience appears to be. I have hours only lonely. My love is vengeance, it's never free. No one knows what it's like to feel these feelings like I do, and I blame you. No one bites back this hard on their anger, none of my pain and woe can I show through. But my dreams are never empty, as my conscience seems to be. I have hours only lonely. My love is vengeance, it's never free. My fist clenches, crack it open, for I use it and lose my cool. When I smile, tell me some bad news, for I laugh and act like a fool. And if I swallow anything evil, put your finger down my throat. And if I shiver, give me a blanket. Keep me warm, let me wear your coat.
dreams are never empty, as my conscience seems to be. I have hours only lonely. My love is vengeance, it's never free. No one knows what it's like to be the bad man, to be the sad man behind blue eyes.
Yeah, well, the next song is really something that got me playing guitar. It's a McCartney song, well, Beatles McCartney song. It's called Blackbird, and it goes something like this.
Sing in the dead of night. Take these tired wings and learn to fly all your life. You're only waiting for this moment to arrive. Blackbird, sing in the dead of night. Take these drunken eyes and learn to see all your life. You're only waiting for this moment to be free. Blackbird, fly. Blackbird, won't you fly into the light of the dark black. Blackbird, sing in the dead of night. Take these tired wings and learn to fly all your life. You're only waiting for this moment to arrive. Blackbird, fly. Blackbird, won't you fly into the light of the dark black. Blackbird, sing in the dead of night. Take these tired wings, learn to fly all your life. You're only waiting for this moment to arrive. You were only waiting for this moment to arrive. You were only waiting for this moment to arrive. Thank you.
you know, it's all about doing cover songs. You know, I mean, people say, you know, write, yeah, and I do write my own songs. And, you know, I think songwriting's a bit of a gift. But it's lovely to hear somebody else's song and put your own twist in it. So I love Eleanor Rigby, and I've sort of, it's a lot, a song I do a lot with the bands in Liverpool. They ask me to say, oh, do a bit of Rigby and we'll join in. So I know it's another Beatles song, but I mean, I could, there's a lot of songs I could do, but maybe I'll get a chance again. But I'll do Eleanor Rigby the way I like doing it. So is that okay? Yeah.
Yeah.
Up the rice in the church where a wedding has been. Lives in the dream, waits by the window, wearing a face that she keeps in the jar by the door. Who is it for? All the lonely people, do they all come from? All the lonely people, do they all belong? Now look at all the lonely people. Now look at all the lonely people. Father Mackenzie writing the words of a sermon that no one will hear. No one comes near. Look at him working, darning his socks in the night when there's nobody there. What does he care? All the lonely people, do they all come from? All the lonely people, where do they all belong? Oh, look at all the lonely people. No. Eleanor Rigby died in the church and was buried along with her name. Nobody came. Father Mackenzie wiping the dirt from his hands as he walks from the grave. No one was saved. All the lonely people, do they all come from? All the lonely people, do they all belong?
Three wonderful tracks recorded here at Manx Radio by Jimmy Gillespie, my MyTunes guest. Thanks to him, and thanks to you for joining us on another MyTunes podcast here at manxradio.com.